A few months ago, I decided to put my extremely limited carpentry skills to the test and build some wooden shelves for our pantry. And, you know, it probably took a lot longer than it should have, but I'm happy to report that for the most part, it was a successful endeavor. In fact, I snapped a picture for you so you could see the handiwork this morning. It worked out all right. And it worked out all right thanks to the fact that some friends loaned me some tools that made that job a lot easier. One of the things that I borrowed was a finish nailer. And I tell you, this thing is great. I could have done the job with just a hammer, but it would have been a lot more difficult. It would have taken a lot longer. And in some cases, I would have had to have had help because you can't really hold a piece of wood up and hold the nail and swing the hammer all at the same time. But with this finish nailer, this thing is great. So I could hold the wood in place and pop, and instantly the wood was fixed in place. This thing is awesome. It is so fast, and it's powerful. And the key to it is to set the air pressure right on the air compressor. Because if you don't set the air pressure high enough, then your nail won't go all the way in. But if you set the air pressure too high, then the nail will blow right through the wood altogether. And then it'll be useless. This thing is powerful. Now, this one is even more powerful. This is a framing nail gun. Oh, this thing is... This baby will fire a 3.5-inch nail into some big honking chunks of wood. This thing is so powerful. It's got serious pop. But disconnected from the air source, it really becomes useless. It's not even a good hammer if it's not connected to the air source. It's just a big paperweight. But connected to air, then you've got all the power you need. And this power is pneumatic power. The power is in the pneuma. There are all kinds of pneumatic tools there. There are pneumatic wrenches. There's jacks and hammers and sandblasters and drills. And, of course, there are pneumatic nail guns. And with all of these power tools, the power is in the pneuma. And pneuma may be a strange word for you. It's the Greek word from which we translate. It's often in the New Testament. The word pneuma means air. It means breath, wind, and spirit. Pneuma. It's a word that's used 345 times in the New Testament. 68 times in the book of Acts alone. And it's a word that we will encounter, although we'll encounter the English version of it, we'll encounter it in our passage from Acts chapter 2 this morning. We're going to hear about the Hagios Pneuma, the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. So this is Acts chapter 2. I'll begin reading at verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear in their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day that the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, you are pneumatic. Can you do that for me? You are pneumatic. Last Sunday was Ascension Sunday when we talked about the last time Jesus was seen on this earth before he floated up into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And just before he left, Jesus had his disciples all gathered together and he told them right before he ascended into heaven to go back into the city and wait. Go in the city and wait for it. Wait for the whole, something big is about to happen. Actually, what he said was this. This is Acts 1:8. Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, throughout his entire ministry, Jesus has been consistent in talking about his mission and the mission that he gave his disciples. When he called the very first disciples, they were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, and he walked up to them and he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people." His last words to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew were, "Go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Go make disciples. And here in Acts 1:8, Jesus is again reinforcing this mission. The mission is to go be my witnesses. Go tell people everywhere about me. So Jesus on Ascension Sunday was ascending into heaven to the Father, and he was leaving this mission. He was leaving his entire ministry, what he'd worked all those years to produce. He was leaving all of that in the hands of his disciples. But even though his mission was very clear, and even though the disciples had been with him for a long time, they weren't quite ready to take on this task. Even though they'd been in Jesus' inner circle, even though they'd heard him teach and preach, even though they had seen him perform countless miracles, even though they had even been eyewitnesses to the resurrection, they still didn't have what they needed to fulfill the mission that Jesus had given them. The mission was too big. They had knowledge, they had experience, but they needed something more. What they needed was power. It's interesting. The word that's translated power here in Acts 1:8 is the Greek word dunamis. You can say that with me, dunamis. I know you all knew that already. I just want to share that with you. Dunamis. It means strength, ability, power. It's where we get our English word dynamite. This power, Jesus promises, is explosive power. So as he's ascending into heaven, Jesus tells his disciples, "I want you to go pray, wait for it. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come with explosive power. And then 10 days later, they're all gathered in one place and boom, dynamite. The Holy Spirit explodes on the scene like dynamite. There's this sound like a mighty windstorm from heaven. It's like an F5 tornado blows through that place, and the whole scene is electric. Actually, the whole scene is pneumatic. The Holy Spirit blows the doors off that upper room where they're gathered, and all of a sudden, these disciples, these same disciples who had recently been huddled together, scared, for fear of the Jews, they were scared with the doors locked because they were afraid that what happened to Jesus might also happen to them. These same disciples are transformed. These ill-equipped, uneducated fishermen who routinely mess up, who fall short, who often misunderstand Jesus, these same disciples who deny and abandon Jesus when he needed them the most, these disciples are suddenly filled with dunamis, power, and they become pneumatic. The Hagios Pneuma, the Holy Spirit, blows the doors off that place, fills their lungs, and they can't help but be witnesses to what Jesus has done. They can't help but to proclaim the good news of Jesus right where they are and everywhere they go. Now, before they become pneumatic, before the Holy Spirit fills them, they are about as useless as a nail gun that's been disconnected from air. But once the Holy Spirit comes, power. It was like dynamite. The disciples had so much dunamis that they couldn't help being witnesses. Words and witness blasted from them like a gale force wind. They had so much dunamis that not only were their once silenced mouths open, but they were speaking about Jesus in languages they had never studied in school. There were so many languages being spoken that everybody who came running heard the gospel proclaimed in their own native tongue. Can you imagine that scene? It was gloriously chaotic, and it was pneumatic. We were talking about this passage in staff meeting this week, and somebody asked, "Do you think that very many of our people here at Advent really believe that the Holy Spirit lives in them?" This person, staff person, said, "Because I'm not really sure. I don't think many of our people believe that." So I said, "Oh, really? Well, what do you think it is that prevents people from believing that?" And quickly, somebody chimed in, "Feeling unworthy. I think a lot of people struggle to believe that the Holy Spirit lives in them because they feel unworthy." I've been thinking a lot about that. And I get it. We are broken. We are sinful. And because we're broken and sinful, it's easy to feel unworthy. But Jesus didn't die so we could wallow in our unworthiness. Jesus died so that we could be saved from our sin and from our brokenness. Jesus died so that we could be set free from this feeling of unworthiness. And when we receive that gift of freedom by God's grace, then the Holy Pneuma, the Holy Spirit, breathed, the same Spirit that was breathed into Jesus, his lifeless body in a tomb in Jerusalem, that same resurrection power, that same holy breath that blew through that upper room and transformed those disciples, these untrained fishermen transformed into unstoppable witnesses, that same Holy Spirit lives in you. You are pneumatic. Every person who's been born anew in Christ is pneumatic. You have been filled with holy pneuma and with power. Dunamis. So how would your life be different if you woke up every morning and you drew a big, deep breath and you reminded yourself, "I'm pneumatic. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and I have power." How would that change things for you? What might you try? How much more confidence would you have? If you reminded yourself of that every day, what would it take to intimidate you? Just that little reminder. I am pneumatic. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and I have power. You know, that's why we name our children Matthew and Mary. That's why we name our children Peter, James, and John. That's why we name them Andrew and Martha. It's why we remember who those original disciples were, and we continue to tell their story, because God took some very ordinary people. In many cases, they were kind of below average. And God took those people, breathed into them the Holy Spirit, filled them with this dunamis, and then they couldn't be stopped. The Roman Empire fell, but the church is alive and well because they were pneumatic, filled with power. History is full of ordinary Christians who did extraordinary things because they were pneumatic. This week, Pastor Laura Allen was sharing with me that her small group is doing a study called Hazardous Saints. And the saint that they studied recently was Sojourner Truth. Now, you might not have heard of Sojourner Truth. In fact, that's not her original name. Her given name was Isabella Bomfrey, and she was born into slavery in New York in 1797. In 1826, at the age of 29, she escaped to freedom with her infant daughter. In 1843, she had this pneumatic experience. That was when, incidentally, she became a Methodist. It was when she experienced the Holy Spirit in a powerful way, and she heard the Spirit calling her to be a witness. In her words, this is what she said: "The Spirit calls me, and I must go and testify to the hope that is in me." A hope that was in her despite her circumstance, despite being born into slavery and struggling her entire life. She was called by the Spirit to bear witness to the hope that was in her. So she left home. She traveled all around the country, working tirelessly, preaching from Scripture, and fearlessly working for the abolition of slavery and for women's rights in the United States. Now, she didn't have any formal education. She didn't have an MBA. She had absolutely no leadership training or training in politics. And yet she became a force to be reckoned with in the American political landscape. Why? Because she was pneumatic. Because the Holy Spirit called her and filled her. And she had power. And the same thing is true for every one of you. Pentecost isn't just something that happened in 30 AD. That was just the beginning. The Holy Spirit has been unleashed, and now all of you are pneumatic. You have dunamis. You have power living within you. Explosive power. So what are you going to do with it? Amen.